Dreema Denver is here with a new book, Island to Icon, The Many Lives of Bob Denver. Who was your husband? Who was Gilligan? Who is also Dobie Gillis on another show, hence The Many Lives. Dreema, welcome to WGN again.
It is so great to talk to you again, Steve.
Oh, man, it's always great to talk to you, but I have one question for you. We probably can end the interview after this question.
Oh, okay. That'd be quick. All right.
If you can explain, and you do, on the back of your book, How to Build a Raft, if you can explain it, and you do, step by step, how come they couldn't do it?
As I don't know, mainly because, they used to ask Bob this question, and he would kind of tap dance around, not really knowing why, you know, the show would have been over, blah, 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 all that. But we were with Russell Johnson at one point.
The professor.
Where they asked Russell the same question, and Russell said, if you were stuck on an island with Ginger and Marianne, would you get rescued?
All right.
So that's the definitive answer from the professor himself.
All right, that leads me to this question. For Bob Denver, because it's still one of the great questions that guys will ask at bars. Are you a Ginger person or a Marianne person?
They call that the ultimate dilemma.
Uh-huh.
And Bob was definitely a Marianne person.
Aha! All right, so Ginger is out now, Tina Louise, the actress that played her. She's the only one still alive from the original cast. She's in her early 90s, yeah. And she has a children's book out. And what she does, which is so wonderful, as a volunteer, she goes into classrooms and she reads to very young kids who, of course, have no clue who Tina Louise is, even if they've seen the show. They wouldn't know, and they wouldn't put it together, and she never talks about it. And I saw her doing an interview to promote the book. And the poor interviewer mentioned, oh, it's wonderful you go into schools and you wrote a kid's book. Let's talk about Gilligan's Island. And she said something to the effect, I'd rather not. Well, what is that about?
I think I saw the same interview. She was never, I don't want to speak for Tina, but it's always sort of been that she resented, is that the word, being famous for that particular role, because it was, she went into it thinking that she was going to be the primary character. Now, these are things I've heard over the years, the primary character, and Sherwood had to tell her, Tina, it's called Gilligan's Island, not Ginger's Island, you know, kind of thing. And she really just kept her distance from the show and from the cast. I think I've been around her. I knew the cast well, except for her, and I think I've been around her twice. Once for Good Morning America and once for a White House tour.
Hmm.
So, you know, she just keeps her distance. They all loved each other, and she just didn't enjoy it, didn't want to be known for it. So I think I saw the same interview you did, and she did basically say, I'm not going to talk about that. And so I don't know. I guess maybe she wants to stay far. But what a lovely thing that she's doing
with
the kids. I mean, that really is lovely.
A White House tour with which president?
Oh, my gosh. This was back in the 90s. It's been a while. So, and it's in the book. It's in the book, Island Icon. It's pictures of that. But it was in, I want to say 1998, I think. And so it would have been Clinton.
Oh, so he was a fan of Gilligan's Island. And did you get, you may not have gotten off the island, but did you get off Capitol Hill? Apparently you did.
Yeah, we got off Capitol Hill. It was Bob and I actually were invited twice, once in 95, once in 98. In 95, it was part of a personal appearance that Bob was going to be doing in Williamsburg, and they gave us, assigned a Secret Service agent to us.
Wow.
He gave us a tour of the White House. And on that one, not the private area or anything like that, but on that first visit, we actually met with President Clinton. then in 1998, we went back because women in film and television were giving Gilligan's Island an icon award for being like a pop culture kind of award. And they included as part of that a tour of the White House. And so the second time, first time it was just Bob and me. The second time it was Joanne Worley, Roger Perry, Tina, Russell and Connie, and Bob and me.
Our telephone number, 312-981-7200. Yeah, sure, you can participate. Or if you have a question, you can text as well as call. And we do have a text that is asking this question. Did Bob Denver have a favorite episode?
Yeah, he did. Well, he loved all of the fantasy episodes that they had, like in the third year.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he liked those so much was because they got off the island. You know, they were on a different set. They got to play a different character than they were playing every week. But the one he loved the most, I don't know if you remember, the Gunsmoke episode.
He played
the Matt Dillon part. And Dawn was Tina was a saloon girl. And Dawn, I think, was a schoolmarm, you know. So it was a takeoff on Gunsmoke, and that was one of his favorites.
All right, so here is the big question that I'm sure you've been asked 2 million times. This show, Sherwood Schwartz, you mentioned his name, he puts it out there as kind of a lark. The network said okay, but never thought it would catch on. Not only did it catch on, It was renewed for several different seasons, was a big hit, and all of these years later is still being rerun. What do you think the appeal is and continues to be for a show that is pure escapism, even though they couldn't escape?
I think that's part of the appeal, is that it's pure escapism and that... It brings to mind nowadays, certainly it brings to mind a gentler, you remember it as a simpler time. But Bob's thing about this, his answer to that question, and I think that it's the best answer, obviously, but he said, the thing about Gilligan's Island, you think about any shows during the 60s, you think about the Donna Reed Show or Father Knows Best or any of those shows, they all look like they were shot in the 60s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gilligan's Island could be any time. It's timeless. There is no, you're on an island, you don't have anything, don't have cars or telephones or anything to put it in a particular time period. So consequently, if you took that show right now, if nobody's ever heard of it, and you put it on the air right now, it would be fine. Nobody would know that it wasn't like the 2000s, except for possibly the fact that it's a very innocent, sweet show. I don't know if they do those any. Do they do those anymore?
There's a show on right now. I can't think of the name of it somehow. And it's been on for many seasons, where they're somewhere in the world on an island, kind of marooned, and it's a reality show. What's the name of the show? 312-981-7200, help me out. But I bet Gilligan's Island was the thought behind that show whose name I can't think of and might cheat and look it up, or someone will help by telling me what the name of that show is. But it's been
you're not
on.
Thinking about Survivor,
yes,
are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. You did it. So
you are welcome.
To me,
my pleasure. I'm glad I could help.
Being inside my mind, it must be no fun, but thank you very much. But that show, the impetus must be, at some level, Gilligan's Island, I think.
When that show first came out, it was very interesting. Bob was alive when the show came. I can't remember what year it started, but he was alive when it first came out. And consequently, he and all the castaways were getting all these requests for interviews, because people wanted to say it's Survivor like it was on Gilligan's Island and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Bob, who was just always straightforward about everything, said, well, you know, they can call it reality if they want to, but it really isn't reality because there are cameramen there and there are, you know, honey wagons there and there are things, you know, that if somebody gets hurt, it's not like on the island, seven people, what happens? It's like somebody would be there to, you know, put him in an ambulance and take him to a hospital. So he got, I'm telling you what, people were, when the show first started, before they knew anything about reality TV, they were really, really upset that he said it wasn't real. But he said, guys, it's not real. Like all these 18 people or whatever it is they start with, they're not by themselves on an island. It's, there's a whole crew with them kind of thing. So I don't know. I just found that to be very funny, but it's amazing that the show still goes on.
It goes on. Its ratings are great. And I think the general idea is really the same as Gilligan's Island. I have one more thought about the success of Gilligan's Island. It has nothing to do with coconuts. And I'll tell you what that is when we come back on WGN. Dream of Denver, the author of Island to Icon, The Many Lives of Bob Denver. Dreema, you happen to be married to Bob Denver, a brilliant comedian.
30 years, that counts.
In Hollywood, that's like 300 years, I believe.
I know.
But you know what? The other factor you didn't mention, Bob Denver. I mean, he was so, so good at anything he did. Really, I think, just a great comedian.
I think so, too. And sometimes I think maybe a little bit underrated, only because if you knew him personally, anybody who knew him personally, he was extremely intelligent, unbelievably well-read. He could talk to anybody about anything. He was just very, very different than the Gilligan character. I think, you know, people who obviously didn't know him and loved the show and watched the show might think or might have thought that, you know, that was who Bob was, that that's what he was like. But he was absolutely nothing like Gilligan. Just maybe the, well, not the innocence, what would you call it, the weakness of Gilligan. He was a big-hearted person and all that. But as far as in his daily life, he was very introspective and quiet and really private and, you know, just the opposite. He never messed everything up the way Gilligan always did.
Well, you don't see me every day. I'm pretty close to that. But who made the character like it? I'm sure the writers had a lot to do with it. But since he created the character, I would guess that Bob Denver said, this is the way the character has to be. And at the same time, different than the previous character he played, which was Dobie Gillis, which a lot of people don't remember way back in the day.
Maynard G. Krebs.
Oh, right. Okay.
The first beatnik on television.
Yes. So it had to be different than that. But that's what I've read. He thought that. But is that true? And tell me about it.
When somebody brought the name Bob Denver up to Sherwood, Sherwood's initial reaction was, no, 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 I'm not looking for a beatnik type. Because you do get typed out in Hollywood as at least you used to. I may not be as bad now as it used to be. But anyway, I guess he agreed finally to read Bob, and it went really, really well. And Bob, when he was creating this character, he told me that he wanted Gilligan to represent all the kids out there who would be watching, that he wanted them to see that you could mess up, you could misbehave, you could do something wrong, but the people who loved you would always love you. And I think in his head, he sort of went back to being like a 12-year-old boy for the character. Made him like in his mind, like a young boy who would have the best of intentions, but always mess it up, no matter what he did. So I think that, and he wanted everybody to be able to enjoy the show. They had Jim Backus there. The older Lovey and Thurston had them there for the older audience, the parents who might be watching. They had slightly more sophisticated humor. And, of course, Ginger was there for all the dudes, and Marianne was there for all the guys. And,
yep.
You know, it was a really nice, for seven people, it was a really nice mixture. Oh, and the professor, I know you didn't ask this question, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Yeah.
the professor all the things that Russell, he had the most trouble memorizing lines because all those scientific things that he would go through, a big diatribe about, you know, how something would work scientifically, that if you picked it apart, it would work the way he said it would.
Really?
Sherwood made sure. Yep. That's what they tell me. Sherwood made sure that that nobody could pick it apart, that, well, the professor doesn't know what he's talking about kind of thing, you know? So I always thought that was really interesting because poor Russ, he had to learn some seriously complicated lines sometimes.
All right, several texts for you here. First of all, if you want to write a check out to one of our listeners who has several pinball machines and one, his favorite, is the Gilligan's Island pinball machine. Do you want that?
Do I what?
Do you want it?
What, his pinball machine?
Yeah.
Well, I do have one, but I could, you know, we're working locally here in West Virginia. We're working on a Bob Denver museum.
Really?
And so you never know. I maybe would. I don't know. That's kind of cool that somebody, it's a great pinball machine.
Now, I want to follow up on what you said. I know there's a Jimmy Stewart museum, and I know with all of his movies that he did and some TV appearances and such, there is the Lucy Desi Comedy Museum in Jamestown, New York. I know in Mount Airy, North Carolina, South Carolina.
I do that every year, the Andy Griffith.
Right. You've been there?
I do it every year. I'm
wow.
one of the celebrities that goes in, says hello. And the reason I get to do it, God bless you, Bob, the reason I get to do it is because you have to have some connection to the Andy Griffith Show to be invited to be, you know, the quote-unquote celebrities that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the older cast members, you know, they're most of them are gone. There are a couple of younger ones left but that played kids with Opie when they were all little. But because Bob did the Andy Griffith Show, they invited me to come and represent Bob and his part on the show. He played Dud Wash.
I remember that. But my question is, yeah, but is this going to be the same kind of thing that you're thinking about opening in West Virginia?
Well, we're still in, yes. What they're doing in downtown Princeton, the little town where I am, they are renovating the Renaissance Theater that was built like in 1919 or something. And the renovation has been slow going because, you know, you have to raise the money and all that kind of stuff. But there's a nice room that's part of the theater downstairs right next to the big entry doors where you first go in, separate entrance. And they've approached me to see if we could make that into a Bob Denver museum because Bob lived here in Princeton, West Virginia, the last 15 years of his life. And so I said, sure. Now, it's been a little bit slow in happening so far, but I checked, I don't know, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, and they got the HVAC system now. And so it looks like things might start chugging along a little bit faster. But it'd be cool, and they'd love to have a pinball machine there. Yeah, for sure.
That would be, you know what? There's a price for everything. So, listener, check that out. Now, here is, Dreema, the most important question. I've been on this radio station nearly 30 years. I am about to ask you the most important question I have ever received. You ready?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did Marianne make coconut pies without milk, sugar, eggs, or flour?
Nobody has ever asked me that. And I have no idea.
She had a coconut pie for everything, every occasion.
Everything.
There was always coconut pie. Again, the name of the book. What?
Oh, I was just going to tell you, want a quick story? Do we have time?
Oh, we have about 40 seconds.
Okay, well, never mind.
Oh,
we'll do it next time.
Oh, okay. That's a tease, I suppose. Island to Icon, The Many Lives of Bob Denver. Dreema Denver, the author. It is always so much fun to talk with you.
I know. I love talking to you, too. And I want all the classic TV fans out there in the Chicago area to know that this book is more like a scrapbook. It's full of photos and pictures and follows all the way through Bob's career. And I've never seen anything quite like it out there. So no, give it a look-see.
It's great. It's great. People can get it wherever books are sold, I assume, including Amazon. Island mm-hmm. to Icon, The Many Lives of Bob Denver. And, you know, we podcast all of our conversations. We will this one, too. And we will put a link to the Amazon place, in fact, where you can get the book. How's that?
Oh, thank you. Or bobdenver.com. They can get it there, too.
Sounds good.
If they want it autographed, they can get it at my website. And if not, they can get it at Amazon.
That sounds perfect. I don't know how to autograph it through you on your web. Oh, you mean your autograph? I had no idea. Thank you, Dreama.
You're welcome. Thank you, Steve.